Whatever it is that you need, I talked about it Wednesday night. He is the God of I am. Whatever it is that you need him to be, God says, I am that. I am your healer. Amen. I am your deliverer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. That's what it means to be apostolic, people. That's what it means to be apostolic in this house. We got a schedule, but it doesn't matter what we want to do. It matters what God wants to do. All that matters is what God wants to do in this house. Amen. Do you believe that? Are you through or do you want more? Because I believe God still has something to give today. I can tell you today I'm going to prophesy into some people's lives. God has given me something for this church for this day. And he is not done with your life. He is not done with you. He is not done with your purpose. He still has a work that he wants to fulfill in your life. Amen. If you believe that, let's just clap our hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It feels good in this place. It's a hard job getting behind this pulpit when God is so strong. Just you don't want to really move because the presence of God is just... I'm telling you, he wants to do something in your life today. He is not done with you today. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. This is God speaking. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. Amen. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. I just want to talk to you a little bit today on the subject, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Around 2 weeks ago, around this time, there were millions of people that made some sort of commitment to change in their life. New Year's, it brings about change in people's lives. Everybody wants to make a change in the new year, to do something different with their life, because maybe they're not happy with the year prior. You didn't do what you were going to do, or maybe you did, and maybe you want to do a little less. But change is something that happens at the beginning of the year. And for many of us, we are guilty of that. At some point, we've all made a change, and we've made a commitment. I say every year I'm not going to make a New Year's commitment, but yet, in fact, that is making a commitment. So I'm just sort of going in a circle there. But we make these commitments. We may say, I want to lose weight this year. I want to get rid of some extra pounds. Your wife just had the baby. You gained the weight. We want to eat healthier. We want to eat stuff that's not so bad for us in our lives. We want to spend more time with our family, with our children, or depending on your family, maybe you want to spend less time with them, depending on who they are. Amen. We want to work more overtime, maybe, to get our bills paid off or provide better for our family, or maybe, in fact, we want to work a little less because we want to spend more time with our family. Maybe we want to go back to school, finish our education. There's so many things that we make commitments on that we want to do. And then when we look at our spiritual lives, we say maybe we want to pray more. And as we're going through this month of fasting, that's one of the things we're trying to do. We want to pray more. We want to touch God more, be more in his presence. We want to read our Bible more and maybe teach more Bible studies and reach out to this community more. Or simply just as a personal life, just draw closer to God ourselves. But we have these commitments. But the sad reality is that studies show only 42% actually follow through with those commitments that they make. And only half of that 42% make it longer than a month. So only half of that. That is a staggering statistic when you think about commitments and people wanting change, of how we cannot keep the change. We cannot make that change and fulfill it because life just happens. Amen? Everyone experiences Monday morning. The same time, every week, Monday morning, it's hard. And it gets worse on Tuesday. And it gets worse on Wednesday. And then Thursday looks a little bit better, and Friday looks great, but everyone has their Mondays. Amen? But we end up mad and depressed because we failed to make our commitment. We don't read the Bible like we should have, and now we're like, I just beaten up myself. And instead of just trying to continue on, we give up. We don't fulfill that commitment. But someone once said, change is inevitable, misery is optional. You have the choice to be miserable. You have the choice to have joy. But it's your choice on what you want to do. It's your choice on how you're going to fulfill those commitments and how you're going to live your life. Changes. See, I've learned in my life that in order for me to learn, in order for me to grow and become what God has for me in store for me, I have to be willing to change. I have to be willing to do something different, to walk out of the ordinary and walk into what God has for me, just something different in my life. Because if I never allow change to come into my life, then nothing is going to change. If I never allow God to work me and to mold me and to teach me, I'm just going to be the same person that I've always been, doing the same thing that I've always done. Nothing is going to change in my life. Amen. Change can be good, though, when you really look at it. Change can be exactly what the doctor ordered for your life. Change can change some things. Anyone need a change this morning? God's already changed some stuff in this house, but I'm telling you, there's still some things that God can change in this place. There's still some lives that God can turn around in this place today and move into a different direction. But it's if you allow God to change you. Amen. We have to allow God. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 states, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. It goes on to describe there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and to pluck up, to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, and the list, it goes on and on. But it is very simple that there is a season and a time for everything that happens. And as we look at our lives and we look at this past year, we can think about some of the seasons that we've been in. Maybe you've been in a season where you were happy, everything was going good, and you don't want to move out of that season because it was good. It was a good season for your life. But others, maybe you look at your life this last year and realize it's been a rough season. It's been a bad season. God has took you through some trials, and you're ready to move to a new season. Amen? Amen? There's a time and place for every season. The problem is, many times when God is getting ready to move us to that new season, to do a work in us, to change us, we are stubborn and we refuse to allow Him to move us. We refuse to be moved. We're like that tree planted by the water the Bible talks about. I shall not be moved. That's the way we are. God, I'm happy here. I'm not leaving. I don't like change. I don't want things to be even messed up more in my life. I'm comfortable where I'm at. Don't move me. We resist change, and we have a hard time changing. It messes with our comfort zone, you could say. It's uncomfortable, and we like it where we're at. We've accepted that it's just how life is going to be. I would say that there's some people, you've been going through some things in your life this past year and still going through it today, and you've come to the realization in your life that it's just the way it's going to be. The devil's lied to you and told you that you're not going to get free from this. You're not going to get unbound from this, and you might as well get used to it, and you've resided to the fact that it's just the way life is going to be. I'm going to wake up feeling the same way I felt. I'm going to go to bed thinking about the same depression that I had. I'm just going to live life going day by day, just resisting the change because it's just where I'm at and it's where I'm going to be. Nothing is going to happen. But I have to be willing to change in my life. You see, I have to be willing to change. I got to come to this place and I got to be willing to put myself back on that potter's wheel. I got to put myself back on there and I got to look at the master potter and I got to tell him, mold me again. Shape me again. I understand I'm not what I need to be. I understand I still got some imperfections in my life. I'm here and I'm willing for you to change me today. Hallelujah. Do you want to be changed today? Hallelujah. Say, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. Hallelujah. I have to be willing to be changed. But if I never make the decision to allow change in my life, then nothing is going to change. Hallelujah. God has a purpose and a plan for every life. For every life. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that God has nothing for you. That God does not have a plan for you and a purpose. God has a destiny written for you. He's just waiting for you to accept it. Amen. God has a plan for you in his kingdom. He's just waiting for you to step up and say, here I am. Amen. God is ready for you. He is in the changing business. Amen. Not to keep him the same, but he's in the changing business. He likes to change things. He likes to make you better than you were. The Bible says he did not come to destroy, but he came to heal and to save. That is his purpose to us. He wants to make you better than you were. Amen. So in our text, we see a marred vessel on a wheel. It is still malleable and is tender. And this master would slowly work it, inch by inch, looking for perfections. And when you think about it in your mind, and you picture this potter's wheel, and you picture this potter, master potter, sitting there with this clay. It's just a clump of something that doesn't look good. It's just dirty. It looks just not pretty. It's not finished. And I imagine just swap yourself out with that and place yourself on that pedestal. I see myself on that pedestal and God's just slowly just turning the pedestal. He sees an imperfection on this side, so he starts to shave it out and just shape it into what it needs to be. God sees another imperfection on this side and he needs to just smooth it out a little bit because, son, this is not where you need to be. This is not how you should be acting, and I just need to perfect that a little bit in you. And then maybe I just get a little bit stubborn and just really mess up the whole thing. And God says, all right, I'm just going to rework you. And he pushes me back down again and just slowly again starts to move me up and shape me up into the vessel that he wants me to be. And that is where we are at today. Some of you, you're in your process of being shaped. Some of you, you're on the potter's wheel right now, and God is trying to get some of those imperfections out of your life. He's trying to move some things out of your life that don't need to be there. Amen. Just smooth out some things that he sees that maybe you're not even aware of, and we have to be allowed to God to do that in our lives. We have to allow him to change us a little bit by little bit. I wonder, though, thinking about it, how many times did this creator almost get to completion? Just to have to start all over again. Anybody feel like that? You've been doing good. Things are going well. You think everything's going good in your life and spiritual, and all of a sudden, God just pushes you down again. We don't always understand it. I'll go to the grave asking God why sometimes that things have happened. But God understands that there's some imperfections in us that got to be taken out. And so I'm telling you, and I speak to you prophetically today, that there are some things, there are some hurts that you don't understand. There's some situations that you've been going through that you're asking God why, and you don't know why it's happening, and you've asked God, do you even care about me? Do you even love me? I don't understand. And I just tell you, he's just working out some imperfections in you. He's just working out some things in you to get you to where he wants you to be, because he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you, and we just have to allow the potter to mold us a little bit, to shape us a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are thankful that God is not through with you? How many are thankful that God has not forgotten about you? Amen. If you're going through life and you don't feel things happening, then you need a spirituality check. Because if you're not moving, if something is not changing in your life, then you need to wonder why, because God is in the changing business. He's going to continually change you. He's going to work with you. Amen. God is going to be there every time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll be the first to admit that I am not the most cooperative. I am very stubborn. My wife will quickly testify my stubbornness. It runs in my family. But if I'm not careful, I can easily put myself in a place where I'm fighting against God's will instead of walking in his will. I can put myself in a situation where God is saying, walk here, And I'm just slowly walking to the side as I'm going forward, getting off target because of my own will, because of my own thought process of what I think should happen. We got to get into this place. That's what's so great about fasting and prayer that we're doing. This is not just so we can say we're spiritual. This is not just so we can say we're better than everybody else because we fasted, we prayed. No, it's because we want to break down our flesh. We want to get our eyes to look at through the eyes of God. We want to see the spiritual things of God and say, God, let me walk exactly where you want me to walk. Let me step exactly where you want me to step. God, let me hear your voice so I can truly know what you want me to do, because I don't want to walk out of your purpose, out of your will. Hallelujah. See, it's much easier to go with the flow instead of against the flow. Amen? Have you ever tried to row a boat upstream? It's very difficult because you're going against the flow, against the stream, the strength. I remember going up into Tennessee and swimming in some of the rivers up there, and I would try to swim upstream, and it's pretty much impossible unless you were extremely fit. That was not me. I learned very quickly, it's much easier to go with the flow. If you're wanting to get somewhere quickly, go with the flow. It's much easier. It's not as hard. It's not as painful if you go with the flow. Well, that's the way it is in church. When we come into this house, we got to go with the flow. God is saying, I'm right here, and I'm trying to work with you. I'm trying to deal with you, and you're just bucking against me. You're saying, no, I don't want to move. I shall not be moved. It's like some of our mottos. It's our motto song, our theme song. Amen? Don't raise your hand. We don't want to know if it is. But see, I like this here, how Paul was revealed to Jesus, how Jesus revealed himself to Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Amen. He automatically knew who it was. It wasn't a ghost. He realized, hey, this is God. Who art you, Lord? And Jesus, and he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. See, pricks were something that were used to prod and to move cows and horses and things. You know much about that in your business probably. If they didn't want to move and they tried to back up instead of going forward like they were supposed to, they would get stuck with those pricks. It's hard to kick against the pricks. You need to go this way, not this way. And that's what he's telling Paul. He's like, you need to understand that I am trying to do something with you and you keep being stubborn. He's saying, Paul, what's wrong with you? You keep kicking against me. You keep rebelling against me. You won't answer my call. You won't listen to me when I'm speaking to you. You're kicking against the pricks. And God is saying, I have a plan for you, but you're being stubborn. But it won't be as painful if you'll just go with it. Amen? He's saying, stop fighting me. Stop ignoring my call. Stop resisting the plan that I have for you. He's saying, Paul, put yourself back on the wheel and allow me to mold you, to change you, to do a work in you. And I just wonder in our lives, like Paul, how many of us, we've been in so much pain, not because of what God is putting us through, not because of the trial that God is trying to teach us in, but because of our own flesh, we're trying to kick against God. God's saying, hey, I need you to move right here. And we're like, nope, I'm going right here. That's a prick. God's saying, hey, I need you to go witness to this person. Nope, I really don't want to talk. Prick. Just pain after pain after pain because we're not following the voice of God. We're not following the leading of God and what he has for us. Amen. Life would be so much easier if we just roll with it. Just go with the flow. Amen. Go with God. That should be a motto next year. Just go with God. Just go. Just do it. It's Nike. We can say just go. Just go with it. Amen. But we have pain simply because we're kicking against the pricks of life. We are fighting God's plan for us. We're refusing to be moved, refusing to be changed. Amen. The last thing I want for my life is to make it harder. I have enough stuff going on. I don't want to make it worse. I got enough trials going on that God has molded me with already. I don't want to bring another trial on myself because of my own fault. Amen? God says he will not put more on you than you can handle. He doesn't say anything about you put more on you. Amen? God won't do it, but you can put more on you than you can handle. When you get all bogged down, I can't take another step. Well, whose fault is that? Is that God's or yours? I don't think it's God's because he said he's not going to do that. You need to check yourself. Amen? I have to be willing to let God change me, to move me into his purpose, his plan, to usher me into a new season. A new season. So that's what it's all about. God wants to take you from season to season. He wants to train you. He wants to teach you. He wants to mold you. Make you better than what you were last year. Make you stronger than you were last year. Make you more anointed than you were last year if you will allow him to move you from season to season. Amen. Is there anybody ready for a change today? Are you ready for a change today? Say, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. Hallelujah. Not just any change, but a godly change. A godly change. Hallelujah. So I ask you this morning, what are you willing to do to bring about that change? What are you willing to do to see God's plan fulfilled in your life? To see his purpose fulfilled in you? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to set aside to see more of God? Maybe it's some people in your life you need to get rid of and let go. Maybe it's some habits you need to get rid of and let go. Maybe anything, but something that may be separating you and stopping you from moving into God's plan and allowing you to be molded. Are you ready for something? What are you willing to do? See, the Bible is filled with examples of people doing crazy things to get God's attention. Seeking him out, trying to just get a moment of his time, just trying to get him to look their way. The Bible gives example after example of people doing this. In Matthew chapter 15, there was a woman that came to Jesus and the disciples, and the Bible says she cried unto him because her daughter was vexed. When you look at the word cried there and study it out, it is not just a whimper or to shed a tear. This lady was screaming, she was yelling, she was doing everything she could to get Jesus to stop and to pay attention to her. She was nagging the disciples, doing everything she could to get them to stop. The Bible says the disciples got so annoyed that they even asked Jesus to send her away. Amen? She's just going down, just follow them everywhere she went. And I just imagine the disciples and Jesus just walking through the streets and towns, and they're going stuff, going about their business. And she's like, hey, I'm still here. Hey, I'm still here. You know, come on, just a minute of your time, please, please, please. Just, that's all I want, just a minute of your time. Just come on, just don't forget about me. I'm still back here. No, don't forget about me. I'm still here. Come on. Don't forget about me. I got to have something. Just a moment of your time. Come on. Just a moment of your time. And the disciples, they say, Jesus, get rid of her. She's driving us crazy. She won't leave us alone. She's crying at us day and night. She won't let us sleep. She won't let us eat. She's just agonizing, saying, you got to understand, this woman had a need. She had something that she needed changed in her life. She was not going to stop. She was not going to give up until she got the attention of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered, this is Jesus, and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I'm not here for you. It is not time for me to speak to you. I'm here for them. Just leave me alone. And then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. How powerful is that? That she's been dogging them, and she's been nagging them, and they're telling her to leave and to go home. And then finally, Jesus actually stops and looks at her and says, woman, I ain't got time for you. And what does she do? She didn't nag them this time. She didn't yell and scream. What does the Bible say? She got down and she worshiped him. She worshiped him. I understand, God, you may not have time for me. I understand that you're not really here for me, but it really doesn't matter. I know who you are. I know what power is in your hands, and I'm still going to worship you. Even if you don't touch me, even if you don't fix me, even if you don't feel me, I'm going to worship you anyways. Hallelujah. What a mindset that if we come into this house, regardless if I'm changed, I'm going to worship you anyways. God, I'm going to trust you anyways. I'm going to give my life to you anyways. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How powerful it is just to worship Jesus. Just to worship Jesus if we come into this house. Don't even ask Him for anything. Just come and just worship Him for who He is and what He can do, that You are God of everything, of life on earth and heaven. Even if You don't choose to heal me, You're still God. Even if You choose not to change my situation, You're still my Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even after this woman worshiped Him, even after she proved that she trusted Him and that she wasn't going to stop loving Him, Jesus still told her no. Hallelujah. He said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." How hard would it be to worship God for Him to look at you in the eyes and say, "You're a dog. You're nothing. I am not here for you. I have nothing for you." But her response is even greater. Her response is even greater. "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." I may be a nobody. I may have nothing in my life. I may have nothing to show for my life. But God, even if I can just get a crumb of what You have for me, I'll take it, because I know it will be more than what I need. Even if I can just get a piece of what You have for me, God, I know it will be more, and it will take care of my situation beyond what I need. God, just a crumb. Just a crumb. Oh, if we could come into this house sometimes and just worship Him instead of begging and pleading for God to touch us. Just come down then just to His house and just say, "God, I'm just here to worship You today. I'm just here to love on You today, because You are God. Because You are the King of Kings. You are my Savior. And regardless of what You do, Lord, I'm going to worship You." And then to tell God, "Lord, I understand. Lord, even if You don't want to completely fix me and heal me, God, if You will just touch me a little. God, if I can just feel Your presence a little bit in this place, just what will be changed in my life? What would be changed in this church? What kind of revival would we have?" We say, "God, just give me a piece of what You have." If we get so desperate that we just say, "God, just anything, just something, God, a little or a lot, it doesn't matter, God, just give me something, it doesn't matter, as long as I am getting fed from Your table. As long as I am getting fed from the master's table." Hallelujah. Blind Bartimaeus needed healing for his sight. He heard Jesus passing by, and he yelled with everything he had, not just a little, but with everything he had, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He got Jesus' attention. He didn't yell once. He didn't yell twice. He yelled and screamed over and over and over again. He wanted to get God's attention. He wasn't going to let Jesus pass him by. And he got His attention, and he got His healing because he got Jesus' attention. There's more examples of people doing crazy things throughout the Bible to get God's attention. Zacchaeus climbed a tree in order to see Jesus. The 10 lepers sought Jesus out and were healed. The Bible describes hundreds of people being healed that sought Him out. They were being brought to Him in stretchers and beds just by the multitudes, so God could heal them and touch Him. They sought Him out over and over again. Hallelujah. But let me get to the meat of what I want to tell you today. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They're waiting for a change. They're waiting for something to happen, a new season. For an angel went down at a certain season into a pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? See, time and time again, people sought out and searched for Jesus to receive an answer. Time and time again, they searched for him. They sought him out. They came to him. They were looking for him. Is anybody looking for him today? If you'd stand with me. All through the scripture describes people crawling through crowded streets to get to Jesus. They yelled and cried aloud to get his attention, just to get him to stop, to look their way. At times they didn't even try to get his attention. They weren't even trying to get a look from him. They were just trying to, the Bible says, touch his clothing. He doesn't even need to look at me. He doesn't even need to speak to me. I know if I can just touch his clothes, there's so much power in him, I know I'll be healed. They climbed trees to see him. They packed out houses just to hear him. Always trying to find Jesus, to touch Jesus. But on this occasion here that I just read, on this occasion, it all changed. There was a change in the way things happened. Instead of waiting for someone to touch him, instead of Jesus waiting for someone to yell and scream at him, to get his attention, for someone to reach out and grab him, instead, Jesus went and found someone. He went to them. He went to them, to where they were. To where they were laying halt and withered. In their situation, in their trial, right where they were in their circumstance, he went to them. They didn't come to him. He went to them. Hallelujah. Jesus went searching for someone that was ready for a change. He asked him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Are you ready for a change today? Do you want to be made whole today? And when he asked them, What do you want? I imagine a church responded, God, I need healing today. Not just in my body, but in my soul. God, I need healing in my mind, my thoughts, my attitude. I feel such a strong presence of depression in this house. It is not God's will that you are depressed. Thoughts of suicide is not what God wants you to have. God wants you to have thoughts of joy, thoughts of peace, thoughts of love. That is what God has for you. Wilt thou be made whole today? Wilt thou be made whole today? So you may have come into this place searching for an answer, in need of a healing. Maybe you don't even know what it is that you really need. You just know you need something. You're longing for something in your soul today. You're longing for something in your mind. God, I just need something from you today. I got to have a touch from you today. Just something today. Just a crumb. Just a morsel. Just something from you today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 weeks ago, January 3rd, God spoke to me on my way home, and he gave me this message to preach. He spoke to me and told me this is what I was to say today. So I prophesy to you this morning. God is not waiting for you to get his attention. God is not waiting for you to search him out, to do something crazy to get his attention, to stop him. He's not waiting for you to crawl down this aisle to say, God, here I am. But Jesus is already here and he's already searched you out. He's already found you in your situation, in your trial. He's already found you in your circumstance and where you're at today. And Jesus has come to this place, to where you are right now, right here, right now. And he's asking you today, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole this morning? Is there anybody you want to be made whole? God is here right now. God is in this place right now, and His arms are reaching towards you. He's reaching for you right now to give you what you need, to heal your mind, to heal your body, to bring you into a new season. But it's up to you if you're going to allow Him to do it this morning. Are you going to allow Him to put you back on the potter's wheel? Are you going to allow Him to mold you today, to touch you, to get those imperfections out today? He can fix your marriage this morning. He can fix your marriage this morning. He can fix your job this morning. He can heal your body. He can meet your every need this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're ready for a change, let's come down to this altar. If you're ready for a change, come meet Jesus right here. He's right here. He's reaching out for you this morning. Whatever you need, whatever you want right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God, I bind every spirit of depression right now in the name of Jesus.